John chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or of husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Did you spot the gift that Jesus has come to give us? Who spotted it? Nobody spotted it. Great. We'll come back to that in a moment. James, did you spot it? There was a gift of light as well. Yep, that was... what verse was that? Verse 9, gives light. Did you see the other little bit about giving, something he gave? Everyone's muttering it under their breath. Put up a hand and call it out boldly. What? Verse 12. We're narrowing it down. And what was the phrase that struck you in verse 12? Annabelle? Yeah, he gave us the right to become children of God. We'll think about that a little bit more in a moment. Before we do, we're going to sing again. As we stand, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are not a God who is hiding, that you've not left us guessing about what you're like, that you are a speaking God. You've given us your word so that we might know you. And we pray as we look at the Bible together now, we pray that you would please speak to our hearts, that we would come to know you better, that we would come to know more of the sort of Father in heaven that you are. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Do sit down, and it'd be a great help if you could keep your Bibles open, at least keep a finger in John chapter 1. It's page 748, if you've closed it up, John chapter 1. We'll turn to that in a while. Okay, hands up. Who is looking forward to Christmas dinner? Even the Brussels sprouts. Yes. We are a church that is for Brussels sprouts. At Christmas dinner, who is especially looking forward to the crackers? Crackers are great, though, eh? Crackers are wonderful. You might say, we're crackers for crackers. They're brilliant. I have got a cracker with me this morning, and I thought we'd pull it now rather than save it for later. Is this the kind of crackers you have at home? Is this the kind of one you're looking for? Six of these on the dining table. What I need is someone just to help me to pull it. Can I have a kind of a helper? Curtis, do you want to come and help be the puller? Now, the way this works, the way this particular cracker works is Curtis and I, we go 1, 2, 3, pull. And you all go, while we're doing that, 1, 2, 3, clap. Okay, that's how the banging mechanism is rigged up. So are you ready? We're going to go 1, 2, 3, pull. You hold one end. I hold the other end. Hold on, not yet. We're going to go 1, 2, 3. And as we go pull, you go clap, which I think means you need your hands ready. Okay, we're all going to go. This isn't it. This is a practice. We're going to go 1, 2, 3, and you're going to go clap. Yeah, that. Yes, brilliant. And while you clap, we're going to pull. That's how this cracker works. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready, Curtis? 1, 2, 3. Oh! Brilliant. And I'm sorry to say, I've won. I've got all the innards. But as a sort of consolation prize, you can have a little cracker that you can take home and share with your family. Thank you very much. You go sit down, and I'm going to enjoy the things that are inside my cracker. First thing you always do when you get a cracker, what's the first thing you always do? You find the little crown, and you stick it on your head. Of course, lots of proud, style-conscious people don't stick it on their heads, but I do. And the crown tells us that Jesus is the king. At Christmas, we don't tend to think of Jesus as the king of the whole world, do we? We tend to think of him as a little baby born in a stable. We tend to make him very small at Christmas. But the angels told the shepherds that that baby was big. That baby was the king of the whole world. Which sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? How can a baby be a king? Well, the baby didn't stay a baby. He grew up. And by the things he did and the things he said, he showed everyone who he was. He showed everyone that he was the king of the whole world. Do you remember some of the things he did? Do you remember one time when a storm blew up and Jesus' friends in the boat thought they were going to drown? And Jesus just said a word and the storm was still. And do you remember his friends were a little afraid? They said, only God has power to calm storms. Who is this man? Another time there were 5,000 people out on a hill and they got hungry, had nothing to eat. And Jesus took a small boy's packed lunch and just out of a few tuna rolls, he fed 5,000 people and there were basketfuls left over. And his friends thought, hold on, when our people were hungry in the Old Testament, it was God who fed them. Who is this man? And you remember he healed the sick. And he opened the eyes of the people who were blind and people who'd never been able to use their legs before. They just got up and danced. And there was a little girl once who died and Jesus brought her back to life. And people had never known anything like it. They said, only God has power to bring the dead to life. Who is this man? And when he taught, do you remember? Everyone sat and listened for hours. They were amazed. They said, but he's just a carpenter's son. And yet he taught with a power no one had ever heard before. Here was teaching that made sense of the world we live in. And they wondered, who is this man? But when he forgave people their sins, that's when they were outraged. They said, you can't do that. Only God can forgive sins. Who does this man think he is, acting as though he's God? But by the things he said and the things he did, Jesus was showing them that he's not just a little baby. He's not small. He's big. He's bigger than we can ever get our heads around. He's the king of the whole world. Let's think of somebody here. So Richard here. Can you just stand up a moment? Where you are, just stand. Richard. Richard was once a little baby. Richard was once. Can you get your head around this? Richard was once wrapped up in a little shawl. And he lay in his mother's arms. People once tickled Richard under his chin. But you don't go up to Richard today and tickle him under the chin, do you? You don't wrap him in a little shawl and lay him in his mother's arms. When were you last in your mother's arms? I mean, a long time ago. See, Richard didn't stay a baby. He grew up. Thank you very much, Richard. And the way some people kind of avoid Jesus' claim on them is to treat him as though he stayed a baby. So at Christmas, we pick him up in our arms for a day or two, and we tickle him under the chin, isn't he sweet? And then we put him back in the manger, and we leave him there for another year, and act as if we don't really need to take him seriously. Jesus is just for the children, really, because he's just a baby. But he didn't stay a baby. So don't treat him as a baby. Treat him as you would treat someone who's the king of the whole world. I think we worry about that, don't we? We think that treating him as king is going to make us miserable. But look again at the sort of king he is. He's not like other kings. He's good in everything he does. And look at the sort of power he has. Power to put broken lives back together again. So perhaps over lunch when we pull our cracker, put the crown on. As we put it on, just pause and say, yes, it's a crown. Because Jesus is the king. He's the king of the whole world, and that means he's my king. And I wonder, perhaps this year, perhaps for the very first time, you can say, and what a great king to have. There's a crown, because he's king. What else is in the cracker? We need to see if there's some kind of toy, perhaps a whistle or a key ring or a bottle opener or some nail clippers, something like that. It's not really a toy, this one. It's more of a cross than a toy. The crown told us that Jesus is the king. The cross tells us that Jesus is the rescuer. When the angels announced the birth of the king, do you remember they said he was going to be a savior? Savior means rescuer. And the way he rescued us was by dying on a cross. You think, strange rescue. I mean, when we think rescue, we think of the miners in Chile who were trapped underground. And they were then rescued from the danger they were in. What is the danger Jesus rescues us from by dying on a cross? Well, the Bible says the reason the news on the telly is mostly bad is because how we've treated God. We think we know how to run our lives better than he does. So we kind of push him out the picture. But because we're not God, because we're actually quite small, we're not very good at running our lives. We don't know better than he does. So we end up hurting other people, hurting ourselves, and hurting the God who made us. We mess up his world. And God is good. He's so good, he doesn't just kind of look at the mess that we have made and shrug his shoulders and say, oh, it's no big deal. He says that he will judge. And that means we're in danger. And Jesus, kindest man who ever lived, was very clear. He said, what we need rescuing from is God's judgment. Of course, we hate that. We're 21st century types. We're very sophisticated. We bristle at the whole idea that there is a God who will judge. Which is very strange. Because if there's one thing we all long for, it's justice. We long for justice to be done. And the good news is that there is hope for our world. Justice will be done because there is a judge in heaven. God says, I'm a God of justice. I will deal with all that is wrong. A price must be paid. But for those of us who are part of all that is wrong in this world, that doesn't sound much like good news, a price to be paid. But in his love, the just God goes on. He says, for all that is wrong, a price must be paid, and I myself will pay it. And on the cross, we see the king of all the world paying the price for all that we have done to mess up his world. I once read the story of a man whose daughter was being chased by a bee. And he rushed out and he put his arms around to protect her. And the bee was buzzing around furiously and then there was silence. And he stiffened just for a moment. And then he said to his daughter, it's all right. You're safe now. The bee won't sting you. See, the bee had stung him. He put his arms around his daughter so that she would be safe. So the bee would sting him. And once the bee had stung, it can't sting again. The girl was safe. She was rescued. And the Bible says we were in danger from God's judgment. And on the cross, Jesus stretches out his arms in love and he takes the sting of God's judgment for us. So there's nothing left for us to take. We're safe. That's how he rescues us from the danger that we were in. So the crown tells us he's the king. The cross tells us he's the rescuer we desperately need. What's left in the cracker? What's the last thing you pull out? The joke. The joke's brilliant. Have I got a joke? Let me just think of some of the jokes I've heard so far this Christmas. What's brown and creeps round the house? Mince spies. I like that one. How does good King Wenceslas like his pizza? Yeah, that was a new one to me this year. What do they sing at a snowman's birthday party? See, that was a new one. You don't tell me these are old jokes, are you? Okay, what about this one? This tickled me no end. What do you call a blind dinosaur? Do you think he saw us? It's brilliant, isn't it? Well, what's this one? Let's see. Oh, this isn't really a joke. This is more of an explanation. This tells us why the king was born to die on a cross. If you want to follow along, actually, just look at John chapter 1. Look at verse 11. This is what's in my cracker. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, when he first came, some people rejected him. They didn't receive him. And the tragedy is that still today, there are some people who reject him. They don't receive him. They don't want him as their king. And they don't really think they need him to rescue them. People who reject him are missing out. Look at what they're missing out on. Verse 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You see what those who reject him are missing out on? Missing out on the right to become children of God. See what verse 12 is really saying? It's saying when we receive Jesus, when we treat him as our king and as our rescuer, God treats us as his children. When we treat Jesus as our king and our rescuer, God treats us as his children. I don't know what you think about God. It may be that he may not matter very much to you. But you see how much you matter to him. Matter enough for him to send his son, the king, to come die for you on a cross. That's how much he longs to give you the right to become his child. Seems to me more than anything else, we want to be loved. And Christmas means that whoever you are, whatever your story, there is someone who loves you. You have a Father in heaven who loves you with a love that is always and forever. I was reading about an elderly lady who was struggling to pay her rent for the house that she lived in. And her church had got together a fund to pay it for her. Someone was sent round to take the money around, and they knocked on the door. And there was no answer. They were sure she was in. They knocked again and there was no answer. They were really sure she was in. But they knocked again and eventually they went away. And the elderly lady didn't answer because she thought they were coming round to demand money off her. Thought it was the landlord. In fact, it was someone from church come round to give her a gift. And this Christmas, through Jesus, God comes knocking on our door. And the question is, will we let him in, or will we keep him out? And some people keep him out because they think that when he comes knocking on the door, he's just going to come and take things away from us. It's just the opposite. He's come to give us something. The crown tells us Jesus is the king. The cross tells us Jesus is the rescuer, and the verse tells us why the king rescued us. It was all so that he could give us the right to become children of God. You might ask, well, how do I do that? How do I let him in? How do I receive the presence he wants to give me? Well, friends, it all starts when we stop treating him as a baby and we start to treat him as the king who rescued us. How do you treat kings? You bow before them. How do you treat rescuers? You thank them. And if you've never done that before, today will be a great day to do it. It'll mean that this Christmas you'll receive the best gift you could ever receive. The right to become a child of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your great love for us, you gave us the best gift of all. You gave us your Son, that we might become your children. And we pray that you would show each of us more of what it means to treat Jesus as the King who rescued us, that each of us would enjoy more of what it means to be your child. And we pray that in his name. Lord, may the wisdom of the wonderful counselor guide us. The strength of the mighty God defend us. The love of the everlasting Father enfold us. The peace of the Prince of Peace be upon us. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be on us all this day and forevermore. Amen. Normally it's time for tea, it's time for chocolates.